Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
I'm Sickle.
And I'm Ifrit.
And this is Sickle and Ifrit, and we are the Unhallowed Reviewers. This is our first podcast doing together, which is titled This Week in Horror, as the intro implies. And this will be our first, the first one we're going to be doing on Halloween, of course, which is awesome.
Yeah, what? Inaugural podcast. That's what we're
inaugural, yeah. Yes. Inaugural. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you, Ifrit.
Yeah, no problem.
And we've got it easy this time because we're going to be doing it on Halloween, since it is Halloween this week.
We're leaning on that crush pretty hard.
Yeah, we've got a few topics we're going to cover.
Yeah.
I'm leaning what?
We're leaning on that crutch pretty hard. The Halloween crutch.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
All right, you want to start us off? What do you got to talk about?
I was thinking that we would kind of start off talking about some of our favorite Halloween-themed horror movies, which I don't know about you, Ifrit, but I feel like despite the fact that Halloween and horror are kind of synonymous, there are way less Halloween-themed horror movies, at least good ones, than there are, say, Christmas.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more movies that take place around Halloween and not, like, about Halloween. Right?
Yeah.
They just, like, they're like, oh, Halloween's happening. I guess something spooky should happen. I mean, like, tons of horror shorts that we've seen, like, tons of, I don't know, I just keep thinking of short films, like Trick or Treat and things like that always have, like, Halloween as this, like, center point for why horror's happening. Like, Pumpkinhead, I think Pumpkinhead's around Halloween too, isn't it? Like, I don't know. I'm really bad at those, like, classics, because I'm terrible at watching classics. I just watch all the crappy stuff.
Well, then it wouldn't be Halloween and Halloween-themed horror movies without bringing up the movie Halloween. From 1978, yeah. Which we will dive into at least a little bit. I don't think it's on either one of our favorites list, because we're not... slashers aren't exactly at the top of our favorite genres.
I would disagree. I'm a big fan of slashers, but that's just because of the, like, gratuitous amounts of nonsense that typically happen in them that just make me kind of giggle in my demon heart.
Well, okay, well, then we're gonna go on down that rabbit hole just a little bit for a second. So you've got to tell me your top three favorite slashers then.
So mine right now probably are going to have to... They've shifted. So recently it's been like a big change because... not recently, I guess last year. The first time I saw Victor Crowley. Because that really reshaped like what I go for in like some slasher movies. So I think definitely, not in any particular order, you have Victor Crowley, the Scream Killers, and probably I'd have to say like... it's probably a toss-up between Freddy Krueger and then Rob Zombie Michael Myers. Like, those are, like, the top three-ish. And the reason I can't decide between Rob Zombie Michael Myers and Freddy Krueger is because, like, while Freddy Krueger is like, kind of, like, iconic, more iconic, he also has a lot of, like, silly flops, like, like Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is kind of weird. It's fun, but it's weird. A little bit, like, outside of, like, what I would call horror even at that point. But on the other hand, Michael Myers, Rob Zombie Michael Myers is more of just like a one-off kind of like Christopher Nolan Batman-esque like Michael Myers. Like, it's not the true Michael Myers, it's just his take. So it's hard to decide between those two.
Yeah, and obviously I would have, Freddy does a good job of like transcending the slasher genre just because of his supernatural abilities, which are even beyond that of Jason,
yeah.
From Friday 13th franchise, of even though he is a supernatural being of sorts, being, you know, essentially a zombie, somewhat, Freddy is definitely beyond that. And I would definitely, I mean, he's definitely in there for me. One of the best, horror icons, absolutely. And Dream Warriors is one of the best horror movies, It's a classic for me. I love that movie.
Yeah, I guess another one that I kind of have, like, let's do this, the top five instead. It's Dream Wars is great. I liked what they did with it, but I keep coming back to this when I'm looking at this, like, kind of list of slasher killers, and I know people hate this movie, but I really like the newer Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. Like, I usually don't like Leatherface that much, but, like, the new one where, like, his spoilers, right, his cousin is the one that, like, he's trying to hunt at some point, and they figure it out, and they end up having to, like, kill some people in the town.
Texas Chainsaw, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was just the best, and it made me really kind of like Leatherface a little more. And, I mean, I know that I should be saying, like, you know, Jason, but I don't know. Anytime I see Jason, I'm always rooting for everyone else. But, you know, I think probably in the top two, if not the top, is, like, the Scream Killers for me. Like, the slashers there are just kind of, like, it's not necessarily the killer, it's the surrounding of the killer. Like, the whole meta thing is just my bag, so.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, if you look at it, though, another one that sneaks in, and I'll stop after this, I promise, but is the Woodsman's Axe, or the Woodman's Mask from You Might Be the Killer is actually a pretty sweet one that I'm, like, is now kind of entering my top.
It's true, like, that one was, it was, of course, a meta horror film, satiring slashers at times, but it really did end up establishing its own slasher icon with that mask setup.
Oh yeah. All right, so we're talking about Halloween. I got on my slasher fix. That's my kind of Halloween jam, is just watching, like, horror movies all the time. What are you thinking? What are your top horror movies? What do you like?
I kind of was going through it, and there's really, kind of like you were saying earlier when you were bringing up that, like, a lot of horror movies or just movies in general that have Halloween in them, it's more, Halloween's just a secondary, it's just a second thought. It's not the primary point of the film, and so I was kind of trying to find movies that had Halloween more thoroughly integrated into it, but that I still really enjoyed, like, that were some of my favorites, and I think that we've mentioned Trick or Treat at least briefly, and I think that one's definitely up there. As an anthology series, it does, it is able to cut that corner, where it doesn't have to draw out a Halloween plot, for a full hour and a half from just one story.
But they're all kind of connected, too, like...
Oh, totally. Yeah,
so that's
kind
of sweet too. It's not totally dissociated. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is one of the, but it is definitely one of the favorites. It's a cult. It's got a pretty good cult following now, and everybody's looking for a second one. Sam, the little child demon, has really, really built a fan following, has become a horror icon in his own right. Even though it's only been, what, 10 years since that movie came out, but a lot of people really recognize Little Sam. But yeah, that one was up there for me. One that, for whatever reason, you know, I think that any fan of any genre that, you know, you have to go back through, refresh your memory. Hey, what movies were, you know, Halloween themed and whatnot? And one that did not pop up on any lists, but I was thinking about the whole time, was Idle Hands. With Devin Sawa, right. Seth Green.
Yeah. And isn't that
a Halloween
Jessica Alba in it? Yeah.
Yes, Jessica Alba. And, I mean, I love that movie. I love it. It's a great horror comedy. It's a go-to for Halloween time. Like, it's just a good thing to put on for people that can handle a little bit of violence but maybe aren't huge horror fans.
Mm-hmm.
To just be able to enjoy some dark comedy. It's a great movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, I agree. Idle Hands is always one of the ones that's like, you see that movie, you forget about that movie because that theme seems to be done very subtly every once in a while. Like The Eye, you had that movie kind of creep in, right? That whole, oh no, you have a serial killer's body part, but he's part of the part. Oh no! And so, like, that's kind of fun. It's very it's like takes its nods from Evil Dead too, with the whole, like, you know, corruption infecting a part of your body. It's just the bee's knees. It's one of the best. It's solid, solid genre horror.
It is. It's great, and it always, I mean, there's kind of a bittersweetness to it, that, like, Devin Sawa is starting to build this repertoire of being this, like, horror actor, And he was in a lot of stuff in the,
yeah, like the first Final 90s. Destination, right? Or, like, second one?
Yes. Yep. Exactly. Yeah, the first Final Destination. He was really starting to make this... It looked like he was starting to build this this good rapport with his filmography and horror. And then it just then he just kind of fell off the face of the earth. I don't really know what went down with him. He went the way of Macaulay Culkin, I guess. I don't know. maybe he went to... He went to what? Michael Jackson's Neverland one too many times, just like Culkin, and he's traumatized. He can't come back. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's Idle Hands is just a classic for me. I loved it. The other one, the other big one that I really wanted to make sure I mentioned, which you've already kind of brought up, the director. But I don't think this is a popular opinion amongst horror fans and even Rob Zombie fans, but 31 is my favorite Rob Zombie movie.
31? I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's based around Halloween, although it doesn't really like go big on the Halloween part, but it does take place on Halloween night. And it's got kind of a Purgy feel to it. It's way more of a close claustrophobic setting than Purge, but it is in the sense that it's rich people exploiting poor people to watch them all murder each other for their own benefit and entertainment. But it's, and you know, it's got the usual cast of and that Rob Zombie feel of like where the acting and the script aren't the primary elements here. I think that as far as writing goes, I would say that probably his Halloween remake has the best writing. 31 is not great on its writing. However, one of the main characters in that Doomhead, which is played, I can't remember that guy's name. I'm gonna look it up though.
No, shouldn't commit to not knowing it. He's not important enough for you to know. He's got to do more movies.
It's Richard Brake, though. See, okay. I had to remember the name. It was really bothering me because, but Rick, he deserves to be mentioned by name because he's his character Doomhead, which is kind of the main, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, slasher of the movie, has these great monologues. The film basically opens up with one from him, and it's just fantastically done. It's like you're watching this bleak, dark, like Shakespearean play, the way that he's talking to his victim, and he carries that throughout the film. I wish he was in it more, because he does take a, you know, spoiler alert, he takes a big break in the middle of the film where you don't see much of him, but he shows back up at the end, and it's just great. I love every line he has. I latch onto every word.
It looks pretty cool.
And I really enjoy
looking
that.
Looking up screenshots of Doomhead.
It's a good one.
Sweet. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good one. It's you know, it's Rob Zombie. It's chaotic. It's got some campiness to it because the acting isn't fantastic, but it's you know, it's chaotic. It's brutal. It can be a lot of fun to watch. And overall, I really enjoy that one. You know, I need the refresher that it's actually on Halloween, because you're not really thinking about it, but 31, it is talking about October 31st.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's
like,
a good,
do 31 people die?
Like,
is it, like, 31 minutes long? What is it?
It's just October 31st, that's all it means, yeah. And I don't, but yeah, that was the big one I was thinking of. I believe that it is still on Shudder. Shameless plug for them. We're not getting paid by them.
Nope, but we love that site.
We do love that site. We do love Shudder. It's for those that don't know, I'm sure that anybody that would be listening to this has certainly heard of Shudder. But it is a horror streaming service that you can get, and it's a good price. I think it's what, $10 a month? No, less than that.
Yeah, I think it's $6.99.
Like, 6 months,
yeah.
Or something. Yeah. Yeah, something like that. But yeah, it's a really good service, and I'm pretty sure 31 is on there if anybody has not seen it.
Well, that just goes to show you, Sickle, that, you know, even though we are always sitting on the couch watching movies together, we're not always sitting on the couch watching movies together.
It's true. One of us is maybe out in the other room, passed out, or passed out on the couch.
Yeah.
We've all done it. We've all fallen asleep watching a movie.
That's right.
All
right. So, I have a really interesting topic. This isn't going to be funny because it's going to be, you know, us hellions talking about our guilty pleasure Halloween movies. So, you can define guilty pleasure as whatever you want, and I'll start by, like, kind of, you know, letting you know where we're going with this. But I will have to say that my guilty pleasure Halloween movie is Hocus Pocus. I know it sounds stupid and cheesy, but that movie has just touched me as a small demon child, and so now I'm like, I'm all in. It's great, great fun.
Hocus Pocus. Yeah, you know what? I was too busy dismembering birds as a child than I was watching movies when movies like Hocus Pocus when they came out. I actually have not seen that one.
It's classic.
That one I missed. I also missed Ginger Snaps, which I think is another guilty pleasure for a lot of horror movie fans around Halloween.
So what's your guilty pleasure then?
Guilty pleasure movie. If it's specifically around Halloween, I really don't know which one it would be.
So like things like Monster Squad. I don't know if Monster Squad's around Halloween. I think it is, but like stuff like that, you know, like Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
I was actually, I actually responded to, because I do goof around on Reddit, don't we all, on occasion, but a question was posed on the, subreddit there, for horror, that, like, what's a movie that you know is terrible, but you love it anyways? And while it's not horror, or it's not Halloween related, it is something I'm willing to bring up here, which would be kind of a guilty pleasure, which would be From Beyond. Which is just awful, awful acting. It's some of the worst acting ever. The script isn't all that much better. And you could even nitpick and bash the practical effects, but dang it if they don't really commit to those practical effects, and I love it. It's a gross movie, and I love it.
Same thing with, like, even Reanimator and Mouth of Madness, sorry. Like, all those kinds of, like, movies are done by a similar group of people, similar actors, and they all have one of our boys, H.P. Lovecraft's, like, influences in it, so you gotta, you know, kind of respect that, because there's a lot of stuff to unpack there, but there's also a lot of really cool stuff you get out of it, so, I'm agreeing with you, yeah. Some great practical effects for the time in those films, especially From Beyond.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely, and At the Mouth of Madness is such a good, or not At the Mouth, see, I got it mixed up with At the Mountain, and I really... Yep. Wish that Del Toro's version had not gotten canceled. That still hurts my soul if I had it. Mouth of Madness, it's such a good one. I really enjoy that movie. And I have to thank you, Ifrit, for that, bringing me on board with that one. Those two have to be up there as far as Lovecraftian movies. I think Dagon. Now we're going off topic, but I don't care. Dagon is a little bit is one that a lot of people haven't seen, and that was another one that I think
I liked it.
Bother seeing it. Yeah, I didn't bother seeing it because I didn't think it was going to be any good. And you said no, check it out, and I was very entertained. It's better than it should have been.
I think entertained is the right word to use with that movie because you're not truly like horrified. It's just pretty entertaining jaunt, and it does some pretty pretty authentic Lovecraftian stuff. So, look, one of the other movies that I think is super in theme with Lovecraft that isn't, it's more Christian religion, which isn't technically not Lovecraft, but it's just not directly. And it's two. There's two actually. It's what is that one? The Evil movie with Christopher Eric Bana. The one where he's, like, the cop investigating, like, the demonic possession stuff.
Oh, I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, that's that one. I don't remember it either. But the other one is As Above, So Below, like, which is just, like... like, French catacombs is a big thing in a lot of... in some of the H.P. Lovecraft stuff, and that movie is just... Oh, man, it's good. It's super good. I like it.
It's the bee's knees.
It's gonna be what we say. Okay, cool. All right. So let's move on. So we said we're gonna talk about Halloween just a tiny bit. I know that you have your soapbox ready. You just used all the soap. You ate it all. Shoved it in your victim's mouth. Whatever you did, you have an empty soapbox and you need to stand on it. So why don't I start by saying I like I like Michael Myers, but I've liked Michael Myers more in some of the movies that you might not think that you should like him in, like H2O, Resurrection, Halloween, the zombie, Rob Zombie ones. The original Halloween, I'm like, okay, it's obviously iconic, that's fine, like, it's good. I honestly never seen 3 through 5, or even The Curse of Michael Myers. I've only seen, like, the newer ones and the oldest one. So, I'm kind of in a weird spot. I enjoy them. I think Michael Myers is interesting as far as the Rob Zombie one goes. Again, like I said earlier, that's probably one of my favorite slashers because of that story that's there. I kind of understand a little bit. But I'll let you soapbox, sir.
Well, first off, I will mention... I have to backtrack on that because it's going to drive me nuts that we, as the... undead horror fans here couldn't remember that movie. It was Deliver Us From Evil.
Yep, there you go.
Was the Eric Bana movie. And another point that you're making, that you haven't seen 3 through 5, that is a crime for both of us that we have not seen 3. I have also not seen Season of the Witch, but that's the one that is, of course, known for infamously not having Michael Myers in it. And that it was just this weird Halloween, almost anthology-esque, romp of so horror we haven't seen it. I've heard it's a big deal. Yeah, like it's just this nothing random, crazy Halloween horror movie, and I do really want to see it because I've heard that it actually isn't that bad. It's more that people hated it because it. Was basically tricked. They were tricked into going to the theater
that
to see it.
Makes
they were
me
looking
see
for
it
Michael Myers, and he wasn't
so
there.
Badly. Like that makes me want to just like, stay up late tonight and watch it, and not care that I'm staying.
I know,
up
right?
Have to work tomorrow. Driving a bus is so
it's,
hard.
It's
I can
a. It's,
drive it
we
while
should
I'm
be ashamed
right.
of. We should be ashamed of ourselves that we haven't seen that. But we will have to see it eventually. We're gonna have to see it soon. But I guess I'll just since I'm going ahead and making all of our. Reviewers who are obviously big horror fans hate me. I'm going to go ahead and continue that trend and make it worse by saying that I'm just not that big of a fan of Michael Myers. And I think that the first one, I do want to say that the first one is just an absolute fantastic horror movie. I respect it so much. I think the original also introduces this character, Michael Myers, and he is very interesting. But I think he's very interesting as a one-shot character, a one-shot film. I don't see the appeal of a mass, especially of the franchise amount that he has received, the number of films that he has received. I think that he's not really necessarily worthy of that, in the sense that he's basically a dude walking at a really slow pace with a steak knife, and there's just only so much interesting monologues you can get from Dr. Loomis. Through, six films describing Michael Myers' lack of a soul before you eventually are bored. But that's my personal opinion. I think it's hard for the slasher genre to be unique and interesting and engaging to its audience every time, because it is a pretty black and white, straightforward layout. And I think Michael Myers himself it's difficult for him, in my personal opinion, for him to be able to keep the audience engaged through that many films, let alone any slasher film, which is why I think that when you get those ones that come out every once in a while, like Hush, for example, where it has this very unique take on the slasher genre, because it's not that they took a twist on the slasher, they take a twist on the victim. And I think that that was something that where I was like, oh man, I'm really engaged in this because the victim has a very unique circumstance that we're seeing play out through this slasher film.
Yeah, and I think, like, I'm thinking of when you say, like, one-offs, like, people who are iconic yet one-off, like, that stayed the test of time. You're thinking things like, I guess there's a few Candyman, so not Candyman, but My Soul to Take, Chrome Skull from Laid to Rest, things like that where, like, you're like, man, there's that creepy dude from that one movie, and like, it's just like, oh, okay, that's the one I remember, like, or like, even like, things like Peach Fuzz from Creep, you have these like, crazy killers that are like, iconic without having to be boring, because they didn't like, overdo it, you know, like, they didn't sit there and make like, 15 movies when one was necessary.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. There's a you made me think of this because you said Creep, duh, and that's gonna make me think of another movie called Creep. There is another movie called Creep that is, I guess I would say it's less known than the American found footage version of Creep, which they are by no means related. There is nothing similar between the two. I believe
not
the
like
other one is
not
UK.
Like you know. Truth or Dare and Truth or Dare that came out a year apart.
Oh my gosh, that was ridiculous. yeah, don't get that mixed up. If you saw a really crappy Truth or Dare movie on Netflix, it was not the one that went to theaters. So double check that. We ran into that problem. Yeah, Creep, this one was like a UK, I think it was a UK movie. It seemed to have a lot of British actors in it, so it was probably UK. It was about this. It's about this guy that's deformed, that lives in the abandoned subway, in London, I guess. I can't remember exactly where we're at. Actually, that's not right. I can't remember. I don't think it's actually in London at all. It's in like Prague or something. I don't know. Anyways, it doesn't matter. There's just a lot of English speaking people in it, so it's kind of confusing. That character was really interesting. Just the way, he never speaks, you never hear him speak any words, but he's got, but you get his story from just, catching glimpses of where he lives and where he's been raising himself and things like that, and, so it's really interesting. But if I saw a sequel come out, I probably wouldn't watch it. I'm not interested in seeing this character progress further than that. I've seen how he handles his victims, I've seen how his motif and how his brain works and his body works, and so I've reached the max of where that is. But it was in itself probably considered a slasher film, and it was very good. It's very interesting, and I like that one a lot.
But you don't need to see another one, much like you didn't need to see 15 other Halloween movies. Or I get what you're saying. That's fair. I don't think you're soapboxing hard enough. You need to try harder.
I need to try harder to soapbox. Yeah. Mike Myers sucks. I don't know. I don't
nice.
Know soapbox hard enough.
Sick burn. All right. So, for the last few minutes of our cast, I want to talk about just a little bit of current event stuff. So, I got real excited because, as I said early in the podcast, Freddy Krueger is one of my faves. And apparently Freddy Krueger, or Robert Englund, has played Freddy Krueger on The Goldbergs, which is a TV show, a human TV show on Earth about, a family named The Goldbergs. But he's in, their Halloween episode. I actually know nothing about The Goldbergs. But when he was interviewed for that show, he said he wants to do it. He might have one movie left. And I was like, man, that'd be so cool. Because, you could do, a Passing the Torch one, or you could just do, the final, he's such a good actor, and seeing him do his iconic role is just one of those things where I'm yes, go for it, do it till you die, be like Bruce Willis, make more diehards than were ever necessary.
Did he specify, did England specify whether or not he'd be reprising the role of Krueger or just being in the movie?
He said, or he'd like to, you know. He said, to Access Live, he said, I think they want the reboot, the franchise, but they're going to need a new actor. They're going to need a new actor to play Freddy because they're going to have to do 8 of them. I might have one left in me, but yeah, one left. And so, he was talking about how they're going to need another actor to do a new franchise if they do a reboot, but he was suggesting that they could do another one with just Freddy, continuing after, whatever he left off, which I'm pretty sure was Freddy vs. Jason, which is awesome, but I mean, that might be cool to see him do, another Freddy versus,
Oh, I'd love that. I was pretty sad. I was pretty bummed when what was that, Freddy versus Jason versus Ash or whatever, was something that for whatever reason was actually close to getting greenlit. I'm surprised that it even got that far, but it seemed to get everybody's hopes up that it might actually happen, and then it died. But that kind of thing, I don't care how campy it gets. I mean, Freddy versus Jason, I think is underrated. Sure, it's campy, it's kind of dumb, the story doesn't really make sense if you think about it too much, but the ending of that movie, where they're just duking it out, was great. I loved it.
Yeah, no, it's a guilty... It's
super
it's,
fun.
I almost want to say it's guilty pleasure, but it's not. It's just a straight-up solid slasher movie. Great kills, really funny characters, dumb stuff they do that makes you laugh. It's probably just one of the most entertaining films that's came out in a long time with regard to those characters. I did like the new Friday the 13th, but like it's just not the kind of movie. You can't make Jason scary anymore, I think. It's just too predictable. So take it to the limit, right?
I mean, it's true. He does like it. I like his look a little more than Mike Myers. Just objectively, Michael Myers, like with the Kirk mask. Why am I spacing his name? Help me out.
I don't know who you're talking about with the Kirk mask.
The Michael Myers mask. What's?
It's just a white face.
Who plays Kirk? Captain Kirk.
Oh, Picard? No, wait, sorry.
No, Captain Kirk.
I know. William.
We're embarrassing
Shatner.
Ourselves here. William Shatner. It's a William Shatner mask. It's super, like, the story behind it, everything about it, the way that they made it so creepy, it's, objectively, it's awesome. For whatever reason, I like the look of Jason a little bit more, but he does fall victim to the same problem that I'm talking about with Michael Myers, where, like you were saying, where else are you gonna go?
Yeah.
With this guy.
Alright, last thing I want to talk about a movie you should see. I just rewatched The Autopsy of Jane Doe again. I cannot pronounce the director's name, but he also did Troll Hunter in the Tunnel, and he's doing some Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark stuff. So, Autopsy Jane Doe is a fantastic film, and if you haven't seen it, you should definitely see it.
So good, and we were able to catch that. What was that?
2 years ago, Telluride,
like
3 or
4 years
ago
now. Was it two? That Telluride Horror Show, which of course is our favorite festival. We freaking love it. That was one of our... That's still one of our absolute favorites, Autopsy of Jane Doe, and definitely worth catching.
We could spend all 30 minutes talking about how we got into arguments about what that movie did good and bad, but we won't do it today.
Yeah. We can do that with a lot of movies. thanks for joining us on...
Physical verse Ifrit is what those
yes. Yeah, that might have to be like a monthly thing or something. I don't know. thanks for joining us today. We are going to be doing... have we already kicked it off, our Halloween horror shorts?
They should be going right now if this comes out on Halloween.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep. So, keep an eye out for those horror shorts. They're great. We spent some time curating those together. Ifrit really put most of it together and has been working on that for the last couple of years while we've been doing that. So check those out. And as always, check out our webcomic. We're going to keep doing that in addition to this podcast. And I think that's it for me.
Yeah, like, comment, subscribe to the podcast. You know, follow our Facebook page, do all that stuff if you want us to keep doing what we're doing. Just two dudes on a couch watching horror films.
Awesome. All right. All right. We'll catch you guys next time.